Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. As we always do, we're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, I think I need to do a little review before we get to the heart of our discussion this visit. And the review I want to do is of the Sermon Coach Sermon Development Method. We start by asking, what subject do I want to preach about this week? And once we have the subject, we ask ourselves, what response do I want from the congregation? Once we've nailed down the subject and the response, then we think about what how-tos, what practical suggestions can I give the congregation in how to go about making that response? Once I have my how-tos, then I can ask myself, what's the time frame or how long before I can expect the congregation to see some results from their response? So we've got subject, response, how-tos, how long. And then I like to add in the creation of a statement, sometimes called a key biblical truth statement, that sort of sums up the subject and response. And what that does, it gives a memory hook to the congregation and helps them remember the sermon. So when they walk out the door of the church out into the parking lot, they can skitter past that sermon-sucking black hole, make it to their car, and even remember the sermon later that day and on Monday and Tuesday and maybe even all throughout the week.
Praise the Lord.
Let's illustrate. Can we do that by starting with a text and seeing if we can come up with the answer to the four questions and the statement?
Okay, good enough. Here's a text I talked about a couple of times back. This is Jesus at the end of his Sermon on the Mount, which is 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew, and then this is the very end of chapter 7. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the storms rose, and the wind blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. So there we have his concluding illustration to what he had been saying in his sermon. And if you give me the four questions, which I know as well as you do, but give them to me, and I'll give you the answer to the questions in terms of that text.
Okay, the first is, what's the subject we want to preach about?
Well, I would say the subject is how to find stability during life storms or stability in the storms of life. Everybody, sooner or later, is going to end up with a storm. We're not talking about a library book overdue, some of that sort, but something that just rocks your world. It's like when the tornado comes through. So the storms of life, finding stability, that's the subject in my mind.
And what response do we want the congregation to make to the sermon?
Well, we want them to live in obedience to what Christ taught, because that's exactly what he said in this text. He said, not these words, but in essence, this thought, living in obedience to his teachings will result in stability during life storms. Hear, but don't pay any attention to his teachings, and when the storms hit, you're going to find that you wash out. The foundation is gone. So we want people to live in obedience to these teachings of Christ.
Now, it sounds to me like you've already got your key sentence, because you've written a sentence that explains the subject and the response in a way that the congregation's going to remember when they walk out the door of the church.
Good enough, yeah. So we've resolved that too. So one, two, and the extra one.
One, two, and the statement at the end. So now let's move on to what sometimes is the most difficult one of all, the how-tos.
Well, I think what this is going to involve the how long as well, as I think about it. But this is just the end illustration of what Jesus gives in terms of what actually becomes a three-chapter sermon. This is an assignment for people, in my mind, would be to go through the Sermon on the Mount, and every time you come to a place where you don't live in obedience to that teaching, then you say, this is something I need to work on in my life, and if I don't see myself finding success here, it's going to be a problem to me down the road when the storms hit. Go through and read all of these chapters, which is not extensive. It's only three chapters, and then mark all the areas where you are not living in obedience to Christ's teachings. This is not a conversion chapter. This is an ethics chapter. So you say, I don't live that way. Sometimes I worry all the time about tomorrow. Well, pick the one that's your biggest problem at this point of all those things that are mentioned in these chapters in the Sermon on the Mount and say, that's what I need to begin to bring into line. So that would be the how-to in my mind. And how long, I would say to people, you're going to have to probably give a considerable amount of time to this. But if you get one and you say, that's a toughie for me, and then you're going to say, could I, by the end of, say, 4 months, bring that in line so that I'm living in obedience to Christ's teachings? And if that's the case and you can do that as the Lord guides you and directs you, then basically you can say, okay, what else don't I live in obedience to? And the more you bring your life in compliance to what Jesus taught in his famous Sermon on the Mount, the more you're going to know that you will not miss life's storms. Everybody's going to get the storms. That's just what life is like. You get the sweet, but you also get the bitter. You just live long enough, that's all. So you look at that and you say, that brings me closer to the place where I'm going to find stability during life storms. Now, that's a very general how-to, but it's specific in terms of each individual will come up with a different area where they find they're not living in line with what Jesus taught.
Now, I want to thank you before we go on, because I have a sermon to preach in just a little while. In fact, the sermon will have taken place by the time this podcast reaches the website. And it's the sermon for the last Sunday in December of 2013. I wanted to preach a sermon that would prepare people for the new year. And you've just given me my sermon, and I thank you very much, because that's a great assignment for a new year.
Yeah,
it's actually appropriate for any time of year, but it's a great text and a great assignment. Now, I want to get to the crux of what I wanted to talk about today.
Okay. Because
what we've done right now is just set the background for my question. And what I wanted to talk about is this idea of how-tos. Do you ever get a negative response from pastors when you're teaching them the Sermon Coach method of sermon development, when you get to this part of talking about the how-tos?
Yes, I don't want to make more of that than I should. And I'm also aware that comments made to you sometimes reflect other people's comments they didn't make to you. I have one pastor friend who said, I like your sermons until you get to what you call the how-tos, and then you just make my skin crawl. Because in his mind, that's the exact phrase he used, you make my skin crawl. And he said it in a way that your skin crawls when you hear those words. But he said, I think you then come into a place where you step beyond your role as a minister. Our job is to give truth, but then the application of that truth is the job of the Holy Spirit. You know, I know that it's not a very nice thing he's saying to me, but I still stick with my idea. I had a college professor and a man I like very much, and he's never said anything negative to me in my entire life that I can remember except this. He said to me, I like your sermons, but I don't like it that you play God. And I said, well, I don't know what you mean by you play God. He said, you tell us the principles, I like that, but then you tell us how to enflesh those principles, and that's the time you step over the line as far as I'm concerned. What I just did when I was talking to you, in his mind, I stepped over the line because I said, here's what you could do. You go through those scriptures. In his mind, I'm playing God when I tell you how to do what you're supposed to do. And so, yeah, I get negative responses. I would say that has to be counterbalanced with the dominant number of comments I get that I am so grateful that you give me some handles to what you're talking about. And that's where I'm getting all of my positive feedback. And I would say the positive feedback is easily 10 to 1. You know, 10 to 1 isn't great, but it's a lot better than 4 to 1, you know. So,
well, it's very interesting. There's a couple of things that occur to me, not to dwell on the particular individuals who may have raised this, but it's important for pastors to understand that there are different types of people. One of the ways of understanding that I've latched onto and used now for many years is the work of Dr. Anthony Gregoric. And he talks about four basic combinations, the way people take information in and the way that they order it out.
Yeah, take your time with this. Don't be hurried, because I've heard you say this and it's very helpful.
First of all, Dr. Gregoric says, God has pre-wired us to take information in two ways. And one way is concretely. That is to say, it is exactly what it is. And the person that takes things in concretely doesn't read between the lines, takes everything very literally. It is exactly what I'm observing, I'm actually seeing. It's a very straightforward and very structured way. The second way that God has pre-wired people to take thing in is abstractly. So we have concretely and abstractly. And the abstract people are always saying not what is it, but what else could it be? They're the ones that read between the lines. They're the ones that look for the nuance behind what's said. Instead of taking the factual information that's given to them without any adjusting or any nuance, they look for the tones of people's voices and a whole lot of other factors when they take information in. Then there are two ways that people process that information and then give it out as an output. The first way is sequentially. Step one, step two, step three, step four. And it's a very ordered and logical way of putting information out. The other way that people order information out is randomly. And they do it by chunk, 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 chunk. And as I'm saying those words, chunk, my hands are going in all different directions around as I'm showing these chunks going out randomly. And God has done that for a reason. And so out of those two ways of taking information in and two ways of giving information out, we have four basic types of dominant mind styles, Dr. Gregoric calls it. We have the concrete sequential. We have the abstract sequential. We have the abstract random. And we have the concrete random. And so those four types of mind styles are identified in all people. And the interesting thing is that every single human being has within himself or herself all four of those mind styles. But usually most people have a dominant style,
okay,
a style that they normally operate with. To live life, you have to pull one of those styles up on the stage in order to live your life. So even a person who is a strongly dominant concrete sequential has some times in his or her life where he or she has to operate from an abstract random way. And there are certain then traits or observable ways of behaving that seem to relate to those types of styles. For example, the concrete random individual, someone who takes information in concretely but processes and gives it out randomly. This is the person that has a million ideas. This is the entrepreneurial spirit. This is the person that always sees the larger picture, not so much concerned about details, but really this is the vision caster.
Okay.
And there are some interesting things about the vision caster. And one of the things is vision casters or concrete randoms don't like rules. They don't like rules at all. If they're pushing their child in a stroller and they come to an escalator in a department store and the escalator says, strollers are not permitted on this escalator, the concrete random says, well, that doesn't apply to me.
Yeah.
Because I can safely go up this escalator with my child in a stroller. So the concrete random says rules don't apply.
Mm-hmm.
Now, another part of the concrete random is don't tell me what to do.
Okay, this is very interesting.
Don't tell me what to do.
Yeah.
So if you're giving people helpful information, the how-tos, which is what you're really doing is you're saying, let me help you get started.
Yes.
Giving them a starting point. Concrete randoms don't want a starting point. They want to cast a vision out there. They want to chart their own pathway. They want to figure out their own way. Now, there's nothing about level of education or any of those kinds of things associated with all of this. But my guess would be that the individuals that have complained to you about providing the how-tos are individuals who are concrete randoms.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
On the other hand, taking the polar opposite of the concrete random is the abstract sequential. The abstract sequential can never get enough information. If you find someone that has a really, really hard time making a decision, many times they will be an abstract random because they're always trying to make sure they have gotten the maximum amount of information they can get. They're the researchers. They're the ones who do the deep digging to get to the very bottom of something. And as a result, sometimes they have a hard time making decisions. They will love the how-tos, but they'll also say to you, if they could get you aside, I wish you'd had more time, Pastor, because
that's really
I could have used a bunch more how-tos
Isn't
to get me
that
started
interesting?
Along
yeah.
the way.
It's fascinating.
So we have to understand that when we preach or when we teach, we have to be conscious of the fact that there are these styles at work in the way that people take information in and then the way they process it internally, because we have to make sure that we don't let our dominant style lead the way. And that's a very easy thing to fall into. I happen to be an off the chart, what Dr. Gregor calls a pointy-headed concrete sequential. And he gets that pointy-headed term because in his instrument, which is called the Gregor-style delineator, when you're done, you draw this graph, and this graph shows how strong you are in the four mind styles, and one of them is and if you have a dominant. Well, I'm off the chart high in concrete sequential. So if I'm going to use my natural style, I'm always going to teach very fact, and not only give facts, but I'm going to always want to start at the beginning and go step by step by step by step by step through the process. Now, the problem with that is if I have a spot of grease on my tie, I've lost the concrete random, because the concrete randoms can't learn from anybody they don't like, don't respect, or if there's something about that person that distracts them from their learning. That spot on my tie, that's all an abstract random will focus on. They'll never hear a word I say.
That's really fascinating.
So one of the things I have to do is that when I teach or preach, I have to make sure that I have the right kinds of illustrations in my sermon, even how-tos. There are people that giving people something physical to do, such as turn in their Bibles to this chapter, that's a physical act. It's not simply an intellectual act. It's a physical act. And there are people that need that high-touch physical act. If you can give them somebody to identify with in the scripture, well, here's Jesus himself.
Mm-hmm.
And so the abstract randoms, well, they're all about feelings. Abstract randoms wrap their entire world in feelings, even facts. They build a framework of feelings around factual information. So they're going to want to see Jesus not as a harsh teacher who's laying down the law in the Sermon on the Mount, but they want to see Jesus as lovingly gathering his disciples around him and then the crowd that followed and embracing them with his spiritual arms. And even though he's giving them really tough things that they have to do to be his disciples, he's doing it in a loving and caring way. Well, painting that kind of a picture is very important for the abstract randoms because it's all about feeling.
Oh, man, aren't you glad you came today, whoever is listening to us on the other.
So,
extremely helpful, Dean, yeah.
Well, when you talk about the how-tos are critically important for the vast majority. The other three mind styles love how-tos. They want to be given some guidance.
Mm-hmm.
Because truthfully, when you say to someone, walk close to Jesus, how in the world do
right.
I do that?
Yes.
Well, in the old days, it was read your Bible and pray.
Yes.
Well, I don't even know how to do that. I don't know where to start. I don't know how to go about that. You have to give the vast majority of people some really practical step-by-step things. And what you're really helping them do is you're helping them set individualized goals that they can actually reach. So the how-tos have to be something that people can actually fit into their lives. And if you say to people, as you start the new year or as you start this new phase in your life, as Lent begins or as summer comes,
yes.
So you preach this sermon at a particular strategic time of the year, over the next period of time, you need to read through Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. Take your time. Be like Mary. Ponder these things in your heart. Read through and then read through it again and read through it again and then begin to identify what if Jesus' teaching here is something in your life that you're not aligned with what Jesus is saying his disciples should be doing or thinking or feeling or whatever the particular a passage is talking about in this beautiful, magnificent, as you said, ethical teaching of Jesus. And framing it in a way gives them something very practical, achievable for them to do. And then out of that list they make, as you say, select the one that you want to start working on, the one that seems most serious to you or that you're the most concerned about. When you work your way through that, then you've got, you know, you've got another one on your list you can
work
through.
Do.
That's what spiritual formation is all about. That's what becoming a disciple of Jesus is all about.
You know what I feel like? I feel like I want to clap. You've done very well. We have to talk about this more, Dean.
Okay, let's do that.
It's very, very well done.
We want to thank our friends for joining us for this time together today. You found this sermoncoach.com podcast on our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We invite you to browse through the rest of our website. We have resources there to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And we invite you to join us for our next sermoncoach.com podcast.